Our evening service of worship to everyone. The announcements on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. We have a prayer meeting here in the church hall. And then next Lord's Day, Sabbath School meets at 11. And the morning service at 12 and evening at 7:30. And next week, God willing, visiting preacher is due to be Mr. Paul Wallace. I'm going to be on holidays for a few days. Just looking up my diary from last year, see what was happening this time last year. This time last year was a time where we were praying that that tomorrow something would happen at Stormont that would prevent the changes in the abortion law and marriage law going through. Well, something did happen at Stormont the next day, but it wasn't sufficient to make any change. Today it was announced that there have been 615 deaths due to COVID-19. That'll be in the last 7 months. But in the six months from the end of March to the end of September, there have been 664 abortions in Northern Ireland. So there have been more deaths due to abortion in 6 months than due to the coronavirus in 7 months. And that's a reminder of where we've come in the past year. These things won't be publicized much, but this is the reality. Well, we come together this evening to worship God. And if you're able, please now stand as we come to God in prayer. Lord, our Father, we come before you. We rejoice that we are able to do so. And we praise you, Lord, for your mercies towards us. We thank you for sparing our lives. We thank you for looking after us. We thank you, God, for opening our eyes to the truth of the gospel message. And we pray, O Lord, tonight that you help us to remember what a blessing it is to know that gospel truth. We pray that you will remind us of those things that are at the heart of the message of the Christian faith. And we pray that by your Spirit you will write your truth upon our hearts and help us to have a clear grasp of it. We pray forgiveness for our sins. We confess our own sins. We confess the sins of our nation. And we know, O Lord, that you do not deal with us as our sins deserve. And so we acknowledge, O Lord, your mercy and your forbearance. And we ask that you would bring about repentance within our own hearts and within our nation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from God's Word a couple of the New Testament epistles. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading the opening verses of 1 Corinthians 15. I was able to be at the opening meeting of the Theological College recently, and Professor David Mackay was speaking on these verses at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15. And in these verses, Paul is reminding his readers about the fundamentals of the Christian faith, the foundations upon which the gospel is built. And I want to read the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 15, and then we'll also be reading in Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 1 and the first 9 verses in Galatians 1. So let us hear the Word of God. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 15, in our Pew Bible, it's page 1022. This is the Word of God. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. And Paul's saying, these things are of the essence of the Christian faith. And then he says something similar at the start of his letter to the Galatians. And reading in Galatians chapter 1, and page number is 1033 in our Pew Bible. Galatians chapter 1, and reading the first 9 verses. Paul, an apostle, not from man, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And we end our scripture readings there at verse 9 of Galatians chapter 1. I want to speak this evening on gospels, fake and true. There are many messages around in our world that claim to be the message of the Christian faith, and some of them are really not the Christian faith at all. They are fake gospels. We hear a lot about fake news these days. Well, there are also fake gospels. And it's important for us to be able to recognize fake gospels. Fake gospels tend to use the same kind of words that are used in the true gospel. But they use the words in a different way, or they leave vital things out. And there's an endless number of fake gospels in existence. And we need to be aware that not everything that sounds a bit like the gospel really is the gospel. People in our society these days have all sorts of strange, ill-informed ideas as to what the message of Christianity is all about. I remember a number of years ago a little girl whose granny had died, and she told me, my granny died and went to heaven to be with the angels and God and Jesus and Michael Jackson. And that was a strange version of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and Michael Jackson. But this is typical of the kind of things that people latch onto and believe. I want to speak, first of all, about fake gospels. And I'm going to do this in a slightly strange way. And I'm putting myself at risk, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to do six different little messages that are false. There's something wrong with them. And your task is to think, well, what was wrong with that? Maybe you'll think all six of them are quite okay, in which case I know you're all heretics and have no idea what the gospel is at all. I take a risk in that somebody may listen to this online, may totally not listen to the introduction to the sermon, and just start into these things that I'll be saying, which I don't agree with, but they might pick me up wrong. So, fake gospels. So, just to be clear, these are some dodgy presentations that purport to be the Christian gospel. There's something wrong with them. But what is wrong with them? That's what I want you to listen and to think about. And if you're able to tell me, just in a word or two, what's missing or what's wrong, well, that'll be good. So you have to tune in, keep your mind tuned in to this. I'm looking for some feedback, and I'll try not to mention any names when you tell me what it is. I'll have to say something along the lines of what you said, because anybody listening won't hear what you say. So here we go. Here's the first of six fake gospels, or gospels that just aren't quite right. Gospel means good news. And in days like this, isn't that what we all want to hear? We want to hear some good news. There's bad news coming at us left, right, and center every day of our lives. Well, the gospel is good news. And let me explain it to you that it's like this. Imagine you have a very, very wealthy great uncle. And that great uncle has just died. And he has left in his will, he has left to you an absolute fortune. More money than you've ever seen or experienced in your life. And he has left it to you. Now, wouldn't it be good news to discover that that was the case, apart from the fact that your great uncle has died? Well, you see, that the Bible tells us that God loves the human race so much that he sent his Son to die in our place. And that means that we will not be punished at all. That means that every one of us is going to go to heaven. But the sad thing is that not everybody has heard the good news. And life will be so much better when you hear this good news and when you believe it. If you didn't know that your great uncle had left it to you, you wouldn't be grasping the good news. And if you haven't heard that Jesus has died so that everyone will go to heaven, well, then you'll not be rejoicing in the good news. So there are many people who are really rich, but they don't actually realize it. Okay, there's dodgy gospel number one. Who can tell me what's wrong with that message, just in a word or two? What's missing or what's wrong? Absolutely. The Bible does not say that we will all go to heaven. The Bible is very clear. There will be a judgment, and there will be those who will go to heaven but there will be those who will go to hell. So we're not all going to be saved. That's not the gospel message. Okay, here's the second one. There's lots of religions in this world, and more of them are getting a public voice here in our country. The problem with other religions compared to Christianity is that people who follow other religions, they never really know if they have done enough to satisfy God. And the nagging question for them is always, are you good enough? Are you good enough for what your God expects? And here, Christianity has good news. Because God has shown us in a very special way that we are good enough. And God did the astounding thing of becoming one of us. Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus became one of the human race. And when Jesus became one of us, that was God putting his stamp of approval on all human beings. And that birth of Jesus Christ into this world, when Jesus was born into this world as a man, that changes everything for all of mankind. And we need to discover in the Christian message what that is all about. And we need to remember what the angels said at that great time when Jesus came into the world. Think of those words. Hark, now hear the angels sing. Listen to what they say, that man shall live forevermore because of Christmas Day. What's wrong with that? Good news. Yes, absolutely. It's not the birth of Christ that saves sinners. That it was essential that Christ be born, but it is his death that is the key thing. So the death of Christ is really key in the Christian message. Anything that doesn't do justice to the death of Christ is barking up the wrong tree. Right, number three then, the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus is all important. The death of Jesus is a thing that we find emphasized in the Gospels. The final week of Christ's life gets so many verses, so many chapters compared to the other years of his life. It's obvious that his death is the all-important thing. And why was the death of Jesus so important? Well, it was important because in that death, God was showing us in the most clear and powerful way how God wants us to live. And God, in the death of Jesus, is calling upon us to follow his example. Jesus was willing to lay down his life, and we too are to be willing to hand our lives over to God, to live for him. And so you've really understood why Jesus came into the world when you see that he is the example in life and in death that you need. Jesus shows us how to live if we want to be right with God. 1 Peter 2:21, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. What's wrong with that? Yes, that's right. We are not able to follow the example of Christ. He is flawless, and we are sinners, and we need much more than an example. The example shows us our sin, but we're not able to follow the example. um, Yes, he died as our substitute. He is our example, but we're not saved by the power of example. Yeah. Okay, number four. What you believe about yourself is all important. Believing things opens all sorts of new doors in your life. And the greatest door of all is the gospel door. And God tells us in his word how we can be regarded by him as being free from all fault and guilt and all blemish. And it's a really simple message that we find in the scriptures. Think of that man in the city of Philippi who was on the verge of taking his own life. And he was told what he needed to do in order to get right with God. And he was simply told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And it's as simple as that. All you have to do is believe that Jesus died for you and you can have peace. And no matter where you might end up in life, no matter what course your life might follow, you can have that peace. If Jesus died for you, then no matter what you do, no matter what becomes of you, all will be well. Believe that that's the case, and don't let your conscience ever bother you again. All your sins are covered. Okay, what's missing there, or what's wrong with that? Yes, belief without belief. Yeah. Very well remembered. I don't think I could even repeat that, but you've remembered that from many years ago. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. The life you live shows really whether you believe or not. You could think of it as there has to be faith, but it has to be a repentant faith. You can't just live for yourself, do your own thing, and think that this is all right. So repentance was missing in that. In the scriptures, repentance and faith go together always. Number five. Do you ever feel as if there's just something missing in your life, and somehow you feel there must be more to life than this, and maybe your life feels as if it's a bit like a jigsaw puzzle, and there's just something missing. And the thing that's missing is really vital to the whole picture. And the thing will never be right unless you have that missing piece. Well, it's God who gives us that sense of incompleteness. God wants us to sense that we are not complete in ourselves. And only God can supply what we need in order that we might feel complete. And Jesus Christ is the missing piece. And once Jesus is in your life, well then everything becomes right and everything makes sense. But without Christ in your life, there will always be that gaping hole. There'll be a lot that looks good, but that missing bit destroys everything. If you were buying a present, you wouldn't give someone the gift of a 100-piece jigsaw if you knew there were only 99 pieces in the box. So why then should we settle for anything less in our own lives than being the full 100? And with Christ, we are the full 100. We are the full picture. What's dodgy about that gospel message? Yes, that's right. Christ is altogether bigger than this illustration presents. It's not the case that we have got our lives 99% sorted, but we just need Jesus as just a little finishing touch. We need Christ to totally transform our whole lives. We need to become new creations in Christ Jesus. We can't take what we have got in ourselves and add Jesus in, and that's us sorted. God teaches us that there's nothing right about us. Everything needs to be changed. So it's an inadequate understanding of what kind of salvation is needed. Many of these things are sort of nice things to believe, but there's something seriously wrong. Right, final one then. Well, you've all heard the gospel message. You all know that Jesus died for sinners, and you've confessed that you are a sinner. All you need to do now is to ask Jesus to come into your life, and that will be everything sorted. And you can be sure that he will answer your prayer straight away, and we can tell everyone that now you are a Christian. What's wrong with that? Yes, we have to be drawn to Christ. God needs to be in our coming to Christ, and we have to leave the timing of our salvation in God's hands. God can, if he so wills, he can answer our prayer for salvation the very first time we ask. But we can't assume that he will do that. The scriptures tell us about the importance of asking and seeking and knocking. It talks about seeking the Lord with all our heart. So we need to recognize God's work in salvation and not assume that it's just all in our hands and that we can just activate this whenever we want to. Okay, very, very good. Thank you for your contributions there. So these are some things that are fake gospels. They use a lot of biblical terminology and so on, but there's something wrong in each case. Now, I want to think then about the true gospel. What is the true gospel? And what are the things that are of the essence of the true Christian gospel? And we could say that, first of all, the Christian gospel is a message about God. It's because there is a God that there's a need for the gospel. Many people today have their own ideas about God. And as long as they hold on to their own ideas about God, they'll never make much sense of the true gospel. The true gospel only makes sense when you believe in the true God. And the Bible portrays God as the creator of all the earth. God is the one who made us. God is the one who owns us. And we are accountable to him. We're not free just to make things up for ourselves as to what's right and what's wrong. We're not free to decide what the meaning of life is. These things are God-given. God is our creator. And God is a God who is altogether pure. He is utterly free from all sin. He's totally unlike us. God can't tolerate wrong in any way. Habakkuk 1 verse 13. Of God it says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. The God of the Bible is a perfectionist and always will be. He is our creator, he is pure, and he is just. God's a God who cannot just allow the guilty to go unpunished. It's in his nature to be just. He must be just. But God is also a God of love, and he delights in showing mercy and grace and compassion. And these things are all true of God. And there are many other things that are true of God as well. But unless a person is believing in the true God of the Bible, well, the gospel really won't make much sense to them. If they believe in a God who isn't much bothered with sin, well, the whole thought of Jesus going to the cross will seem like a crazy idea. It'll seem like foolishness. So the gospel is a message about God. Understanding who God is and what he's like is all important. And then the true gospel is also a message about sin. What we believe about ourselves is vitally important. And we have to understand that we are not like God. And the scriptures teach us that in the beginning there was a real man called Adam, and his sin resulted in separation from God. And Adam was there as the representative of the whole human race. And when he fell, he was representing us. He fell into sin, we fell into sin as well. He became guilty, we became guilty. And therefore, all of us come into the world with a heart that is inclined to evil. And out of that evil heart come our evil thoughts, our evil words, and our evil actions. And we're born with a fatal flaw that none of us can correct. And time won't make any difference. Doesn't matter how many years we might live, we'll never sort this thing out ourselves. We are sinners. We have offended God by the things we've done and said and thought. We have done that again and again and again. And God has seen it all. Everything has been lived out before his eyes. And we are in big trouble. True gospel is about God, and it's about sin. And then it's a message about Christ. And Christ is at the center of the Christian faith, but people aren't ready to hear anything about Christ until they accept the truth about God and the truth about themselves. And we have to see the hopelessness of our own situation before we'll see any need for Jesus as a Savior. And once people understand the need for a Savior, well then they need to see that in Jesus Christ, God has provided exactly the Savior that we need. Jesus is fully God, but he is also fully man. Jesus lived a perfect life in this world. He was tempted in every way. He pleased God in every way, passed every test. And yet, Jesus was put to death. And Jesus died as a substitute for others and for all who trust in the Lord Jesus as their substitute, for all who follow Christ and serve him and love him. And Jesus lived that life that we're not able to live. And he died the death that we deserve to die. And Jesus rose from the dead, having done what he came to accomplish. And he will return as the judge of all of us. The gospel, the true gospel, is a message about Christ. And then the true gospel is a call to repent and believe. It's good news about what Jesus has done, but it calls for a response from us. We're not just to nod our heads and agree and say that sounds nice. We have to repent of our sins. We have to believe and personally trust in this Jesus. He has to become our new Lord and Master, the one who's in charge of our lives. And it will affect everything that we do in life. The Spirit of God is sent into the hearts of those who believe in the Lord Jesus, and He changes us to make us like Christ. So the gospel is a call to change our ways, to give up believing in ourselves, to trust in Christ, and to follow Him for the rest of our days. And that true gospel message about God, about sin, about Christ, and to do something about it, that is a message that is always responded to. There's always a response. There is either acceptance or there is rejection. And we were looking recently at a verse in John chapter 3, at the end of John 3, and it says there that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. And people either believe or they reject. The gospel message is always responded to with acceptance or with rejection. Nobody sits on the fence. If you don't accept, if you don't embrace Christ, well then you're rejecting Him. And these are things that we need to be clear in our minds, that these things are essential to the Christian faith. Now, it's very unlikely that we will have the opportunity to explain all of those things to anyone in life. But it's good that we have a clear idea of what it is that the Christian message is all about. You may have an opportunity in days to come to say something by way of Christian witness to someone else. And I'm not saying at all that unless you get all these points into what you say, that you've got the gospel wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that These are important parts, elements of the Christian gospel. And if you can get across one element of the Christian gospel, that will be a great thing. If you can see what a person thinks, and if you can see where they're going wrong, and if you can sow a seed of doubt in their mind as to how could what they believe really be true, well then that's something God can make use of. Someone else can tell them about other things that you're not going to tell them about. You don't have to say it all. But if you say something that's true, that can be mightily used by God. I would say also to you to not be afraid of getting it wrong. The devil wants you to keep your mouth shut about the gospel. He wants you to believe that you might not say it completely right, and therefore you're better to say nothing than to say something where you might get things a bit wrong. Well, God doesn't lead you down that path. God wants you to say what you can, to say what you know and what you believe, and you can trust the Lord to take it from there. We're not to bury our talent in the ground. We're to do what we can. And finally, in all of this, we need to trust in the Lord to open people's hearts. It is never the polished words of Christians that are the key thing in a person's conversion. It is the Lord who opens people's hearts. And so we need to pray that He will do that. All of us know people who don't believe the Christian message, and God hasn't yet opened their hearts. And we need to pray that He will do that work. Because unless God opens a person's heart, then The minds of unbelievers will remain blinded to the truth. But the Lord himself can give eyes to see. And the Lord himself can give a heart to believe. There are fake gospels around. And people have embraced many different wrong teachings. But there is a true gospel. And we need to pray that God will open people's ears to the true gospel and that they will recognize that as being the truth. And he can use us in that work. Amen. Now we come to God then in prayer. And just ask you now to stand, if you're able, as we come in our prayers. Lord, our Father, we thank you for the teachings of Scripture. Thank you for all the gospel truth that's there in your Word. And we pray, O Lord, for those who think they believe the gospel, but it's not the real gospel that they believe. We pray for those who have been deceived by false teaching. And we pray, Lord, that their eyes would be opened and that they would encounter the true gospel, that they would recognize the difference. And, Lord, we pray that the truth might set them free. We praise you that there is a gospel that is true and that there is only one true gospel. And we pray that you'll help us, O Lord, to remember that gospel. May it be something that we believe for ourselves every day of our lives. Help us every day to remember that we have a great God that we are accountable to. Help us to remember our sin. Help us to remember the one who is our substitute, the one who makes all the difference in terms of our standing before you. Help us each day to repent of our sin. Each day to renew our faith in Jesus Christ. And help us, O Lord, to know that though the gospel doesn't often meet with the response that we would like it to, help us to realize that there is a response and that rejection is a response. But we praise you, O Lord, that you're the one who can open people's hearts and that where there has been rejection, there can be a total turnaround. And we pray that you'll be pleased to use our witness, that you'll use our lives and our words. We pray that you'll help us to find the right thing to say to the right person. We ask, Lord, that you would give us that ability, and we pray that you might be pleased to use us as your witnesses. We pray, Lord, for the vacant congregations in our denomination. We ask for the churches there for whom these are difficult times. We pray for the folk in Stranorlar and in Creva, in Enniskillen, Lisburn, Drumore, Lochbrickland, and Brady. And we pray, O God, that in each case you would be at work among those folk. And we pray that you'll be strengthening their faith. We pray that in different preachers that come at different times, that people will hear things that they'll latch on to and will be a real blessing to them. We pray for our student ministers as they preach in vacant congregations at times. And we give thanks for the recent visit we had from John Coulter. We pray for Paul Wallace as he's due to be here next Lord's Day. And we ask, Lord, that you'll be with John and Paul Flynn and Paul Wallace. We pray that you'll help them in all the different subjects that they're studying at the college. We pray that they will have a delight in studying those things, that it won't be a burden to them. Pray that they will recognize how blessed they are to be able to be studying your word. And we pray that you will use all their studies to equip them and to make them ready, O Lord, for whatever task you have for them to do in life. Help them, O Lord, in their home lives. We pray for those who have children that you'll give them all they need for seeking to to provide their children with what will be good for them. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be you'll be calling other men to train for gospel ministry. We pray that the great message of the gospel will be one that that will not be found without those who will declare it. And we look to you, Lord, in this. We pray that you would lay that concern upon people's hearts. We thank you for some who have been thinking about this and have already indicated their desire to begin their training at the college next year. Lord, we don't know what a year will bring forth. We don't know if there will be the opportunity to even have such a thing next year. So we pray for your working, O Lord. We pray that each time people gather in their places of worship, that your word will be heard, and we pray that it will accomplish mighty things among those who hear. Help us, O Lord, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him, and we pray that we will be convinced that there's no other way in life. Lord, hear our prayers. We ask all now in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalm that we sing in closing is Psalm 25. We sing parts of Psalm 25, the first three stanzas, and then also 7 to 9. The tune is Dennis, number 193. So Psalm 25, 1 to 3, and then 7 to 9. To you I lift my soul. You, Lord, my trust will be. My God, let me not be ashamed, nor foes gain victory. Yes, none who waits on you will be ashamed at all. But those who sin without a cause, let shame upon them fall. Show me your ways, O Lord. Your paths, O teach to me. And lead me also in your truth. Let it my teacher be. And then at stanza 7, the Lord is good and just. The way he'll sinners show. In justice he the meek will guide. His path he'll make them know. All pathways of the Lord are truth and mercy sure to those who keep his covenant and testimonies pure. O Lord, I plead with you that for your own name's sake you'll pardon all my sinfulness, for it is very great. And the writer shows his awareness of his own sin, but he trusts in the Lord, and he believes that the Lord will show him the right way to go, the right paths to follow, the right truth to believe. So we unite in praise these stanzas 1 to 3 and then 7 to 9. The tune is 193. We remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close the service with the benediction.
To you I lift my soul, you Lord, my trust will be. Lord, let me not be ashamed, nor foes gain victory. Yes, none who waits on you will be ashamed at all. But those who sin without a cause, let shame upon them fall. Show me your ways, O Lord, your paths, O teach to me, and lead me also in your truth, let it my teach. is good and just, the way he'll sinners show. In justice he the meek will guide, his path he'll make them know. All pathways of the Lord are truth and mercy sure, to those who keep his covenant and test him on each shore. O Lord, I plead with you that for your own name's sake, you'll pardon all my sinfulness, for it is very great.
Now receive God's blessing. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.